Good morning. This morning, let's open to John, the Gospel of John, chapter 21. Gospel of John, chapter 21. We'll start verse 3. Simon Peter said to them, "I am going fishing." They said to him, "We will also come with you." They went out and got into the boat, and that night they caught nothing. But when the day was now breaking, Jesus stood on the beach, yet the disciples did not know that it was Jesus. So Jesus said to them, "Children, you do not have any fish, do you?" They answered him, "No." And he said to them, "Cast the net on the right-hand side of the boat, and you'll find a catch." So they cast, and then they were not able to haul it in because of the great number of fish. Therefore, that disciple whom Jesus loved said to Peter, "It is the Lord." So when Simon Peter heard that it was the Lord, he put his outer garments on, for he was stripped for work, and threw himself into the sea. But the other disciples came in the little boat, for they were not far from the land, but about 100 yards away, dragging the net full of fish. So when they got out on the land, they saw a charcoal fire already laid and fish placed on it and bread. Jesus said to them, "Bring some of the fish which you have now caught." Simon Peter went up and drew the net to land full of large fish, 153. And although there were so many, the net was not torn. Jesus said to them, "Come and have breakfast." None of the disciples ventured to question him, "Who are you?" knowing that it was the Lord. And Jesus came and took the bread and gave it to them, and the fish likewise. This is now the third time that Jesus was manifested to the disciples after he was raised from the dead. So when they had finished breakfast, Jesus said to Simon Peter, "Simon, son of John, do you love me more than these?" He said to him, "Yes, Lord, you know that I love you." He said to him, "Tend my lambs." He said to him a second time, "Simon, son of John, do you love me?" He said to him, "Yes, Lord, you know that I love you." He said to him, "Shepherd my sheep." He said to him a third time, "Simon, son of John, do you love me?" Peter was grieved because he said to him a third time, "Do you love me?" And he said to him, "Lord, you know all things. You know that I love you." Jesus said to him, "Tend my sheep." Let's stop there and let's pray this morning. Father, we thank you that you redeem our failures, and we ask that you would just bless this morning. And God, refresh us, renew us. Lord, we just want to come into your house and come into your presence. We thank you, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. So you know this well-known story, and the situation is Peter just denied Jesus three times, and he feels like a failure, and then he goes back feeling like a failure to the very thing that he knows the best, that he's comfortable with, his livelihood, before he was in ministry. So he goes back fishing, and so he goes on the boat, and he's out there all night, and the Bible says that he fails at that. And so if you were to put yourself in his situation, if you were to put yourself in his context, this is not just a bad night. This is not just a small thing. Just remember everything that that Peter had gone through up to this point, you know, denying Jesus and just the heart-wrenching sort of emotions through that. And so the only source of relief or just to get away from things, he wants to do something that he knows, you know, the best about, that he's an expert in. And so he goes and he goes fishing and all night catches nothing. I'm not an expert. This is not how, you know, in fishing, and it's not part of my livelihood. But I've gone fishing before and I've caught nothing. And even on those days where you're there all day, you know, 8 hours and catching nothing, I mean, that's frustrating. And I can imagine how frustrated Peter is having gone through that, and his sort of confidence and his manliness and his livelihood is on the line. And so he catches nothing, and he's a definite failure, and then he encounters Jesus. He encounters Jesus, and Jesus says, you know, "Take your nets, put it on the other side," and they catch a huge amount of fish, 153, the Bible tells us. And you've heard messages on this passage many, many times, but I observe something that I kind of want to present to you through this. And so he catches this large amount of fish. I guess before we go to this, catches this large amount of fish, and Peter has a couple of options. And this is sort of my one observation that I just sort of want to present to you this morning. He failed all night. Jesus blesses him with 153. I think some of the scholars sort of did a weight comparison. It's 300 pounds. I don't know what it is in kilometers, but it's a large amount of fish. Here are sort of Peter's two options in my mind. He could have just looked at the 153 fish and said, "Wow, thank you, Jesus," and just stayed on the boat and enjoyed the blessings and just took it to the shore and, you know, sold them, cooked them, eat them, whatever. He could have just been like, "Thank you, God. You answered my prayers. You know, I was really discouraged. We were here all night, you know, and I was maybe, you know, asking, you know, man, God, do something in my life." And here Jesus shows up. And Jesus gives the word. They take the nets on the other side. And then the blessing happens. A huge amount of fish. You know, and I think of parallels to some of our situations where, you know, we failed and we're struggling, or God is silent. And we're like, "Come on, God. Can you do something?" And then Jesus shows up. God shows up and he begins to bless you. He blesses you with the job. He blesses you with finances. He blesses you with relationship. He blesses you with protection. He blesses you with answered prayer requests. And we have a couple options. We can simply sit there and just like, "Oh, thank you, God," which is definitely an appropriate response. But Peter does something different. So Jesus blesses him with the fish. And then the next description is that he begins to put on his outer garment, for it was stripped for work, and he throws himself into the sea, and then he goes after Jesus. Now, here's the contrast. Peter was just blessed by Jesus' provision of all the fish. And instead of staying in the boat, the very first reaction he has is that he pursues Jesus. He pursues Jesus. He throws himself, the scripture says, he throws himself into the sea. But the other disciples in verse 8 came in the little boat, for they're not far from the land, just about 100 yards away, dragging the net full of fish. And so as I'm reading this, this is sort of my observation of the heart of Peter, and maybe sort of the parallels to our lives. And I look at Peter's heart, and I look at sort of the overview of what Jesus is trying to do to Peter, who has failed him. Peter, who has failed in his life, who's sort of failed Jesus by denying him. When Peter received the blessing of the fish, he didn't just look at the fish and say, "Wow, thank you, Jesus. I'm going to enjoy my blessing now. I know it comes from you, and I'm thankful for it. And now I'm just going to enjoy the blessing." But instead, Peter looks beyond the blessing. He throws himself out of the water, and he pursues Jesus. And as I look at my life and our lives and sort of just the natural reaction that we have to the blessings of God, that's great that God provides for us. But I wonder if maybe a more appropriate sort of attitude and heart. Of course, God is always looking at the heart. I wonder if the more appropriate response is not the blessing, but maybe the blessing is supposed to cause us to throw ourselves out of the boat to pursue Jesus. Maybe that's the point. Maybe the point is not like, "Oh, God, you gave me a China visa. Woo, thank you." Maybe the point is not, "God, you gave me a job. Woo-hoo. You know, we've been coming to EMP and you've been providing. Yes, thank you." Maybe the point is not the blessing. Maybe the point is that the blessing causes you to pursue him with all of your heart. And now the question is, how many times do we actually do that? Or are we like the other disciples and we just stay at the boat and, you know, we're just going to come into the shore. We're not that far, you know. Oh, but the heart of Peter is so challenging to my spirit, because here's a man who had just failed greatly and then compounded by fishing and not catching anything. And so he pursues Jesus. And when he gets to the shore, guess what Jesus has prepared ready for him? Breakfast and fellowship. He says in verse 12, "Come and have breakfast." And so here we see sort of a contrast where Peter had the raw blessing of the 153 fish. He had the raw blessing, but when he pursues Jesus, when he meets Jesus, instead of the raw blessing, Jesus has a prepared blessing. See, there's a significant difference between the raw blessing of the 153 and the prepared blessing. The blessing that Jesus had prepared, that he had gotten ready, that he knew beforehand, that he has ready for him. There's a difference from the raw blessing and a prepared blessing. And many of us are so consumed and so enamored by the raw blessing, but we forget that God has a prepared blessing that's even greater and better. And as we see the blessings of God, because God wants to bless us, and he does bless us, and he blessed Peter with 153 fish. And it caused Peter to pursue him, that when he pursued him, there was a prepared blessing. In 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 9, it says, "No eye has seen, no ear has heard, no mind has conceived what God has prepared for those who love him." God has something incredibly prepared. Of course he wants to bless you. Of course he wants to restore you. Of course he wants to answer your prayers and take care of you. Of course he wants to do that. But maybe our response is that we pursue God even greater. And when we do that, we will experience a prepared blessing. Here's the difference, when it comes to anniversaries, when it comes to birthdays, as the husband, I always find myself, at the last minute trying to, to get a gift for our anniversary or birthday or whatever. And the day comes and it's like, I still haven't, gotten anything, or I still, I'll just go and just maybe find something around the house and here. And it's actually a very nice gift, It's a household appliance, very useful, very necessary. It makes life easier. It's a wonderful gift, a blender, blenders are wonderful, in life. Just imagine trying to make smoothies by hand, difficult. But if you put in a blender, oh man, it's just, so my heart is to make life easier for my wife, and so I got her a blender. So I just found it around the house, and just bam, here's a blender. Take that as opposed to something that I've prepared years in advance, a scrapbook from the day she was born to, our married life. And, I did all of this work. I got people to do things, I made little hearts and, out of construction paper and, whatever. You just use your own imagination, because I don't have much, okay? There is a difference between the raw blessing and some blessing that I have prepared, because it demonstrates my love and my heart and how much I love her. And so, yes, we can enjoy the raw blessing of the blender, and yeah, make some great smoothies, or you can go and pursue God and receive the incredible prepared blessing that God has. Are you following me? Someone say amen. Okay, maybe not. Maybe I have to. This is sort of what I'm observing here. And then so Peter goes to Jesus, and they finish eating. And you know the dialogue very well. Three times Jesus says to Peter, he says, "Simon," actually changes names as you notice. Before it was Peter. Now it's Simon going back, trying to redeem. "Simon, do you love me?" And he says, "Yes, you know that I love you, and tend my lambs, shepherd my sheep, tend my sheep." I won't go through that, but here's sort of the point. Remember what the first thing Jesus said to these original disciples. The very first moment that Jesus met them, what did he say? He said, "Come and follow me, and I will make you fishers of men." Come and follow me, and I will make you fishers of men. Fast forward, 3 years of ministry, 3 years of teaching, 3 years of healing the sick, 3 years of being with Jesus. And here is Peter. He has an epic failure. He goes back to his old job, his old profession of fishing. And here Jesus is trying to restore him again. And look at what Jesus is saying. He's saying, Peter, if you love me, I want you to go tend my sheep, feed my lambs, shepherd my sheep. Jesus is bringing him back to a full circle moment. He said, Peter, when I first called you, I said, I want you to come follow me. And I'm going to make you fishers of men. And so now I'm asking you again, forget your failures. Forget your problems. Forget what was the past. I'm going to bring you back to the original call, the original plan, the original desire that I had for your life. You may have forgotten it in the busyness of your life. You may have forgotten it in the busyness of what you're doing every single day. 3 years have gone by, and you probably have forgotten what the original plan, what the original promise, what the original desire for your life was. You may have forgotten that. So I want to bring you back. I want to call you and I want to remind you that I want you to tend my sheep, feed my sheep, shepherd my sheep, shepherd my people, because I'm going to call you to follow me and you will become fishers of men. And here he is being sent out to be fishers of men. I think the significance of this story is the fact that Peter fails and Jesus comes. And he blesses him. And instead of being so caught up in the blessing, it caused Peter to pursue Jesus. And you see the heart of Jesus. He has prepared something. He has prepared something for him, just like he has prepared something for you. That as we pray this morning, as we pray throughout our lives, God, would you bless the work that I do? Would you bless my family? Would you bless my life? And that's great and stuff. But I really think that God is asking you in those blessings to pursue the one who's given the blessing and not just the gifts. I believe that God gives health where there's sickness. He gives strength where there's weakness. He gives life where there's death. He gives hope where there's despair. He gives forgiveness where there's only shame. He is the God of brand new beginnings. And you'll notice here that Peter... instead of rebuking Peter for his failures, Jesus gives him another chance to be who he's supposed to be. Jesus is not looking at Peter's past. He's looking at what Peter can do in the future. And Jesus is not concerned about Peter's resume, but he's concerned about Peter's redemption. And so I just want to speak to us this morning as we close and as we come into prayer. I want to speak to us that however you feel, wherever you are in your journey of life, you may feel like you're a failure. You may feel like things are not going well. You may be desperately seeking God for blessings and answer. But that's not the goal. The goal is Jesus himself. And so I want to encourage you this morning. Yes, ask God to answer your prayers. Yes, ask God to bless your life. Yes, ask God to bless your family. Yes, do those things. But that is not the end result. The end result is that it gives you more of a passion for Jesus. So let's do that this morning. Let's pray. Let's bow our heads. Let's close our eyes. And if you really think about it, if you really observe this passage, you see sort of the tender heart of Jesus towards Peter. And Jesus knows exactly what to do for Peter to restore him. He knows exactly how much kindness Peter needs. He knows exactly how much gentleness he needs. And remember, Peter is a rough guy. He's a strong guy. He's a passionate guy. Jesus knows exactly what Peter needed. And he knows the same for you. In times of crisis, he knows exactly what you need. And so I want to encourage you this morning as you pray. Instead of asking God, would you bless my life? Would you bless my things? Would you bless my future? Can we just say, Jesus, I want more of you. I want more of you. You can bless me with riches. You can bless me with provision. You can bless me with relationships. You can bless me with so many great things. And my life can be happy, and my life can be filled with joy, but it doesn't matter if I don't have you. It doesn't matter. Lord, we just come before you this morning, and we want to seek your face. We don't want to seek your blessing, because God, we know that you're going to bless us anyway. But God, may we see that you are greater than the very thing that you give us. We thank you, Lord. The goal of the Christian life is not happiness. I think a lot of people in life, they want to be happy, regardless if they have Jesus or not. If they're happy, then it doesn't matter if they have Jesus. Whatever it takes. Many people think that if they come to Jesus, then I can be happy. That's not the goal. The goal is Jesus. It's not happiness. I think the problem with many marriages is that they're unhappy because they make happiness the goal of their marriage. And that's not the goal of marriage. The goal of marriage is holiness. And I just look at someone that you would love unconditionally is probably your children. You know, in terms of marriage, you know, many people think they have a choice to get out of it. But with your children, you don't have a choice. But my goal with my child is not that he would make me happy. The goal with my child is my child. You know, everything that comes with it. The tantrums, the sleepless nights, the grief. Of course there's happiness and of course there's joy, but the goal is not that. The goal is Elijah. The goal is the child. The goal is love. That's the goal. And I feel like just to add on, you know, the goal is not the blessing. The goal is not happiness. The goal is Jesus. The goal is Jesus. Everything that comes with Jesus. And I just want, before we pray for our community, I just want us to just lay ourselves down. Lay that idol of maybe happiness down. That's not the goal. The goal is Jesus. Jesus. The goal is Jesus. Jesus who loves us unconditionally. And of course, there's going to be incredible times of joy and happiness with Jesus. But Jesus has greater plans that he wants to take you. And he wants to grow you. He wants to prune you. He wants to stretch you. He wants to discipline you. Jesus is the goal. So before we pray our community, can we just confess that to the Lord? Maybe even repent, saying, God, the goal of my life has been happiness, or the goal of my life has been other things, but it hasn't been you, Lord, and I want it to be you, Lord. Can we do that? Can we do that now? I encourage you after we pray for our community just to spend some time and just seek Jesus and let him speak to you. Let's pray for our community as people are sick and ill, and so let's really give ourselves to interceding and standing in the gap. And so let's ask the Lord to heal, and let's believe that God has a plan for everyone on the list. So let's lift them up right now. pray for those who are ill and also need salvation. Let's ask the Lord to truly open their eyes and take the veil off. And let's pray for others that are sick, and let's just pray for them right now. Let's lift up those who are looking for jobs and employment, and let's ask the Lord to open doors for them. Let's bless them through our prayers, and so let's pray. Let's lift up our mission focus for today, and let's lift up Japan and Thailand and North Korea, especially as Chris and his family will be at retreat. So let's lift them up. God is really doing something, as Pastor Sam has maybe mentioned to you at AMP, that God is opening doors. And so let's really ask the Lord for wisdom, and that God would be able to penetrate into these countries. So let's lift them up right now. Thank you. Let's lift up our ministries, SP Ministries, Noah's Ark, the nursery, the youth group, men's and women's ministries. Let's pray for the leaders there and the volunteers there. And let's ask the Lord to provide more volunteers for the kids and youth and men's and women's ministry. And so let's ask God to provide volunteers and work. Let's lift them up right now. Let's pray for retreat as we're coming to the last few days. Retreat starts tomorrow night, and let's ask the Lord to pour forth His incredible power and anointing, and His plans and His purposes would be fulfilled. Let's ask the Lord for transformation and change. Let's ask the Lord to take our church to a brand new level. Let's ask the Lord to move powerfully through our retreat. And so let's lift up our leaders and the logistics and the speakers, and let's just ask God for just an incredible historic moment this weekend. And so let's pray for that right now. Pray for our house churches that are meeting today. Let's pray for Conduit Island and McRobinson. Let's ask the Lord through their groups that they would experience incredible fellowship, but also they experience God, and that they would grow in their faith through these meetings today. And so let's lift them up right now. Father, we thank you for house churches. Lord, we thank you, God, for the ones that are meeting today, God. We know that today could be a special day, God. That today could be a powerful day. We know that today could be just a discussion, not just an epidemic. want to encourage you, even after we end our time today, just to continue to pray for retreat and continue to pray for Jesus to be here with us. So, Lord, we just lift this day to you, God. We seek your face. We want you, God. We want more of you in this place, God. We want you to do incredible things beyond we could ever imagine. God, we want restoration and redemption, God. We want you to pour out your spirit upon us, Lord. We thank you, God. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Continue to pray. Blessings on your day today, and we'll see you tomorrow.